Daniele Russo, Book 4, Chapter 22, of the Ecclesiastical History of the English People, by the Venerable Bede. Chapter 22, How a Certain Captive's Chains Fell Off When Masses Were Sung for Him, 679 AD. In the aforesaid battle wherein King Aelfwin was killed, a memorable incident is known to have happened, which I think ought by no means to be passed over in silence, for the story will be profitable to the salvation of many. In that battle, a youth called Imar, one of the king's thanes, was struck down, and having lain as if dead all that day and the next night among the bodies of the slain, at length he came to himself and revived, and sitting up, bound his own wounds as best as he could. Then, having rested a while, he stood up, and went away to see if he could find any friends to take care of him. But in doing so he was discovered, and taken by some of the enemy's army, and carried before their lord, who was one of King Ethelred's nobles. Being asked by him who he was, and fearing to own himself a thane, he answered that he was a peasant, a poor man, and married, and he declared that he had come to the war with others like himself to bring provisions to the army. The noble entertained him, kind ordered his wounds to be dressed, and when he began to recover, to prevent his escaping, he ordered him to be bound at night, but he could not be bound, for as soon as they that bound him were gone, his bonds were loosed. Now he had a brother called Tuna, who was a priest and abbot of a monastery in the city, which is still called Tunachester, after him, Towchester. This man, hearing that his brother had been killed in the battle, went to see if haply he could find his body, and finding another very like him in all respects, he believed it to be his. So he carried it to his monastery, and buried it honourably, and took care often to say masses for the absolution of his soul, the celebration whereof occasioned what I have said, that none could bind him, but he was presently loosed again. In the meantime, the noble that had kept him was amazed, and began to inquire why he could not be bound, whether perchance he had any spells about him, such as are spoken of in stories. He answered that he knew nothing of those arts. "But I have," said he, "a brother who is a priest in my country, and I know that he, supposing me to be killed, is saying frequent masses for me, and if I were now in the other life, my soul there, through his intercession, would be delivered from penalty." When he had been a prisoner with the noble some time, those who attentively observed him by his countenance, habit, and discourse, took notice that he was not of the meaner sort, as he had said, but of some quality. The noble, then privately sending for him, straitly questioned him, whence he came, promising to do him no harm on that account, if he would frankly confess who he was. This he did, declaring that he had been a thane of the king's, and the noble answered, "I perceived by all your answers that you were no peasant, and now you deserve to die, because all my brothers and relations were killed in that fight, yet I will not put you to death, that I may not break my promise." As soon, therefore, as he was recovered, he sold him to a certain Frisian at London, but he could not in any wise be bound either by him, or as he was being led thither. But when his enemies had put all manner of bonds on him, and the buyer had perceived that he could in no way be bound, he gave him leave to ransom himself as he could. Now it was at the third hour, when the masses were wont to be said, that his bonds were most frequently loosed. He, having taken an oath that he would either return, or send his owner the money for the ransom, went into Kent to King Hlothere, who was son to the sister of Queen Ethelred, above spoken of, for he had once been that queen's thane. From him he asked, and obtained, the price of his freedom, and, as he had promised, sent it to his master for his ransom. Returning afterwards to his own country, and coming to his brother, he gave him an exact amount of all his misfortunes, and the consolation afforded to him in them, and from what his brother told him he understood, that his bonds had been generally loosed at those times when masses had been celebrated for him. and he perceived that other advantages and blessings which had fallen to his lot in his time of danger had been conferred on him from heaven, through the intercession of his brother and the oblation of the saving sacrifice. Many, on hearing this account from the aforesaid man, were stirred up in faith and pious devotion to prayer, or to almsgiving, or to make an offering to God of the sacrifice of the holy oblation, for the deliverance of their friends who had departed this world. For they knew that such saving sacrifice availed for the eternal redemption both of body and soul. This story was also told me by some of those who had heard it related by the man himself to whom it had happened. Therefore, since I had a clear understanding of it, I have not hesitated to insert it in my ecclesiastical history. Book 4, Chapter 22 of the Ecclesiastical History of the English People by the Venerable Bede.